What's going on, Philadelphia? Hello, everybody. It is Bell and the Birdmen. We are back in our respective homes, but there is a lot of news to get into. I want to thank Jeff again for this wonderful T-shirt that he gave me in Chicago. I have not stopped wearing it, by the way. So if you are watching this on YouTube, please go hit that thumbs up. That goes a long way. And make sure you're giving us 5 stars on every podcast platform that you can find us. And you're listening to this on fine program. I don't know if that was English or not, but you get what I'm saying. some exciting things to go over, Vince Quinn, as you definitely nailed the Marcus Mariota signing, and I am starting to talk myself into it, and maybe he's fundamentally or could fundamentally change the red zone offense. We'll get into that in a little bit, but my goodness, this CJGJ drama, where are you standing on this? There's a lot of the agents fucked up, and I'm not still buying that, and I don't know if we'd rather have him here or not. I don't really understand what Eagles Twitter wants. What did you want?
What do you mean you don't know if you'd rather have him here or not? What does that mean?
I don't know. Bradberry and Slay, and now that we've had a couple of days to kind of soak it in, is just like, you know, it's kind of a better place to be because I don't want this team drafting a corner in the first round. So
I am
terrified of Witherspoon or that Gonzalez kid from Oregon, and then you're expected to be right next to Bradberry and CJGJ, and he's – I don't know. It's funny to say, like, he's not as good as A.J. Brown, so, like, he can't tweet like him, you know? Like, and I'm there with him. I just think he'd be – it seems like the guys in the locker room were, like, split on him too, no, after looking at this and Jeff McClain's reporting?
I don't know, man. Some of it just sounds like character assassination after the fact because, look – the whole thing got fucked, right? They clearly wanted CJ so bad, and that was all of the reporting was they're trying to make a run, they can't agree to a deal, his agent overvalued the market, and he fucked up. So then what happens? The agent's putting out tweets blaming the Eagles, talking about money that isn't guaranteed money, which anybody with half a brain that follows the sport knows is complete bullshit when you're not talking about guaranteed money with the contracts. So, like, he's doing all this random stuff, and then once it turns out that he's not an Eagle anymore, and it's official, he's with the Lions for, what, 1 year, $8 million?
Okay,
even worse. Yeah, great job doing his agent. Great fucking job. Well, once all that stuff comes together, man, I mean, that's when the character assassination stuff comes out of, oh, well, they don't know how he'd handle having money. Like, get out of here. Get all the way out of here with that complete garbage. They're just trying to make fans feel better about the fact that it didn't come together. Like, that's
I forgot that they said that, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't know how he'd handle $7 million. You know, like, oh, no. Yeah, you're not giving him Jalen Hurts money. Christ. I think character assassination is an easy thing to fall into when these things happen. I liked his attitude. When Brian Dawkins endorses you before the playoffs and be like, he reminds me of me, I thought for sure there was no way that we would be at this end road where he'd be hanging out with Dan Campbell in Detroit. But, I don't know. I think this is a better situation. Like if it's only 1 year. So if it doesn't work out and there's a chance he might come back next year. That's probably why they had to save face and went with that. Who's that fucking kid, Justin Evans, who is also the same agent, right? They have the same agent as CJGJ.
Yeah, which is really funny. It's so funny. I mean, can you imagine having to go back in there as the agent and discuss that contract because you lost so much money on the other deal and now there's a hole? Like,
Can I tell you what I really think happened? I think Howie pulled a fast one. Because this is what he usually does with the safety market. And speaking of which, we'll probably get into Rodney McLeod at the end of this as well. But, like, this sounds like a typical Howie move to me, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Like, you're pressing with the agent for months. You get to the combine. You're still telling him, like, I know you think the safety market's going to be tough, but, like, you know, or the safety market's tough out there, but we're willing to pay you and blah, blah, blah. And then he does the switcheroo. Signs Slay and puts the pressure on him and goes like, so what, there's no more money. We didn't have any more time. I don't know what to do. And then it just ultimately makes this situation look bad because he can't really go into detail with negotiations because the agent will know that, like, if you say anything, your other relationships with, like, Justin Evans are going to be ruined. And like, I don't know how many other clients they represent, but it just seems like this was a total Howie power play, and along with the backed into the corner, like making you look bad on the way out, just smells like they fucked up too. No?
No, Howie Roseman, Buzz Lightyear, dude. This is falling with style yet again. He's done it again. Like, this is, I mean, what were all the reports around Slay a couple of weeks ago? It was that he's not coming back. They gave him the option to go and seek a trade, and they were going to cut him. Like, the only reason they didn't cut him and they renegotiated because they knew it wasn't happening with CJ. So then that's what they do, is they get this fallback.
And that's what they told us.
Well, I think it all fits. It all fits pretty smoothly, right? They didn't want him. They were gonna move on. He's a corner in his 30s. They were going to go with the safety. And like, that's why, for me, it's obvious that you go with CJ, because he's a safety that's 25. He's played in the slot. Like, versatility is something they really like, and it's valuable. And safeties don't get paid shit relative to the rest of the market, especially corner. So I think there's value in it. They already saw him. He was a great player. He's like 7 years younger. It's an obvious move to me. Obvious.
I'm going to go deeper. I'm going to say that him and Drew Rosenhaus were having a moment, and CJ GJ was a pawn piece in all of this. Like, I do think they would have probably maybe signed him if Slay moves on, but that went up to the 11th hour and be like, fine, go find another fucking team. Fine. And then, you know, maybe Slay, maybe Drew won this round and was just like, fine, we found another team. He's going to Baltimore. Like, fuck off. And like, okay, wait. Okay, well, we can do this. I think his intention was to always keep Slay and get that comp pick for CJ GJ, because half of the room was split on him. And I don't know. I shouldn't say that. It sounds like there were some people in the locker room that didn't want him in there, including possibly maybe the general manager. So, I don't know. Just a theory. Throwing it out there. And I like it this way anyway. I prefer it this way. Not because of the Eagles PR media spin. You can invite him back if you really want to see what happens. It gives you another year of Slay, and you don't have to draft a corner. So, said and said. Anything besides that I'm missing in this situation here, Vince Quinn?
Well, they should draft a corner anyway. I mean, Slay is old, and he's got 1 year left, and Greedy Williams, like, who gives a shit? I'm not excited about it. So, unless Josh Jobe is the next Marcus Epps, essentially, and it's this guy you're keeping around for years and figures it out, develops from nowhere, like, I don't know. You need corners all the time. And, like, that's the biggest thing that I'm taking away from all this, by the way, is as much as you look around at what the Eagles have done, I mean, what have they done? It's a lot of older guys that are coming back for a year for the most part. And then some of these free agent signings, they're injured players. You know, they're guys that have had major injuries recently, missed an entire season or three in the case of Evans recently, and you're not expecting anything. You're signing them for a year. So you look at the Eagles, they've got all these holes in the draft. I mean, after the third round, it's like gap. They got 12 picks next year. Like, you can't look at this roster and tell me they're not going to trade like crazy into this draft if they see the opportunity. I'm just fully convinced that they're going to add like two or three more picks in this draft, at least, if they can, because they got the ammo to do it.
And on that, if I may, before we turn our heads to Marcus Mariota and maybe some other things, I did see that Daniel Jeremiah released another version of his mock draft. You know who was there at 10? Who was there at 10, Vince Quinn?
Don't say Bijan Robinson, because I'm going to get really pissed off.
No, but we'll talk about that too. Lucas Van Ness from the University of Iowa, who can indeed play tackle and edge, and not a lot of people have been saying that out loud, and I think that's very versatile considering the defense in which Desai and the rest of everybody are trying to shape here. At least that's what I believe. So I don't think he's a top 10 pick, and I'm saying that as a total farmer boy homer, but he's been linked, I think, quietly too many times, and I always pay attention to what DJ says specifically. I think they're going to move back, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's LVN at like 14 or 15, and then we get to have a large debate on basically, is this drafting Derek Barnett again, and I'm ready to fucking fight all you motherfuckers to say no. I would love LVN here as long as you're dropping back and getting picks, and that is a name you should go circle and go look at tape, because I will even say this. I don't think he'd be a great year one starter, but I think he'd be great year one rotational player behind Brandon Graham, and you're going to be able to fight. Now, that sounds like a tweener, but I'm biased, and I'm going to say that LVN would be fantastic here, and he'd be more of a hybrid Josh Sweat, D tackle, which I welcome very much. He's very violent. He needs work with his hands. His bend's not that great, but he is fucking ferocious. So I'm just going to say that out loud. And then, Vince Quinn, I'm going to tell you, please, God, go. If you have not tried Liquid Death's new tees, you are an insane person. It's hot outside. It's 60 degrees. And the only thing that is keeping my afternoon afloat is that little sweet agave, little sweet caffeine that's in a, is it 19 ounces? 19.2 ounces? Not the traditional 16.9, which you're used to in the water. It is a huge fucking can of iced tea and will not give you that crazy black tea headache that I know a lot of you get with that highly caffeinated stuff. It is fantastic. Some of the other flavors, I'm with you. I don't know. It takes some getting used to for me, but I'm sticking with the original. I know the rest of the crew is doing that here too. Go to liquiddeath.com/bell to not only find out more about that iced tea, but it gets you 20% off of everything in the merch store. And Vince Quinn, have you taken off or washed that hoodie or the sweatshirt that they gave you? Because I've seen you wear that thing a million times.
Yeah, I have worn it a million times. This is a different crew neck sweatshirt right now.
Okay, good.
St. Joe's Prep crew neck sweatshirt. Yeah, Prep.
Shout out to Prep.
That's right.
Except bought it, not at all.
Bought it in 2008, left it in a drawer for like 7 years, was like, oh, this thing's cool as shit. I'm going to start wearing it now. And until the Liquid Death sweatshirt came along, that's pretty much all I wore.
Amazing stuff, and beyond clothing, too. A lot of really cool merch that belongs on your desk or to scare people or, you know, a dog toy to chew on. Liquiddeath.com/bell. And speaking, Vince Quinn, of things that have been left in a shelf for 7 years, welcome back, Marcus Mariota. Huh? Hey, all right. You nailed that, buddy. It finally happened. Marcus Mariota's an Eagle. So I feel like he's been, finding his way back. I've got a lot of takes, including I just think he could fundamentally change the red zone offense. But your quick thoughts on Marcus Mariota being the second starter of the Philadelphia Eagles.
One, gross. Get the fuck out of here. Two, I'm going to put Mariota on the shelf for a second, because before you start talking about the delicious taste of Liquid Death and how it murders your thirst, you dropped that.
Yeah.
LVN, I don't think he's a top 10 guy. The Eagles should trade back for him. Also, he can't use his hands. He doesn't have bend.
He can't use them. I'm saying he needs to work on them.
Oh, well, it's okay. So I, based on your description, I hate the pick. I hate everything about it, and they should not draft him at all. You were also a Derek Barnett guy, and I will hold you to it. So,
yeah, I was.
With all those things being said, Mariota. Okay, Mariota. Yeah, man, look, I think this is the beautiful thing of he's going to be great here because the team is built for a guy like him, right? He can run all day, and who gives a shit? And for all the passing that he's got to do, you can execute a short passing offense, because the thing that I've yelled so much about, John, in the passing offense for 2 years, and we saw it finally. What was that?
Wide receivers catching footballs at an amazing rate and slants and stuff. I don't know. Where are you going?
Slants! You said the magic word! Ding, 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 ding. Now that we have those kinds of things in the system, finally, thank fucking God, guys like Mariota can...
Wait a minute. Were they not running slants in 21? Is my foggy memory just...
No,
yeah, I remember you yelled that a lot now.
Do it. They just weren't running that kind of stuff. Like, nothing easy over... And also, Jalen wasn't completing passes to the middle of the field, and that was a whole thing, so like...
Oh, yeah, it was...
Never.
Yeah.
But now that that's all changed, you can run that kind of stuff and make it easy for a backup quarterback like him and have good legs and do all that stuff, which also brings up the conversation, because I'm with you. Like, use Mariota in the red zone, do crazy shit. The Taysom Hill era exists, and you can take something from that. But if you're going to go like that and you're going to use Mariota, I'd go after a decent QB3.
What are you talking about? Ian Book is sitting right here.
There, yeah.
I've never seen him throw a football. But I'm telling you, that guy's got it.
Yeah, he's got it.
I'm with you, and I don't think, second of all, why wouldn't you do Taysom Hill here? This is what I went dying for in some regard. I am praying, because this is another thing I'll go tell you to look at. Go look at Marcus Mariota's splash tape on YouTube. Go watch his highlights. It's 12 minutes long. Here's the most fascinating things that I see about that. One, very active in the red zone. Duh. Two, does a lot of QB sneaks, just like Jalen Hurts does. Three, Philadelphia Eagles, if you're not listening to this and you're not going to do this and implement it in the red zone when you have legs of steel and Marcus Mariota, legs of bullets and magical Superman-type hero shit in those thighs of Jalen Hurts, and you are not putting them next to one another in the red zone with either Rashad Penny or Boston Scott or even Dallas Goedert just to go fuck some heads up real bad on what you're doing in the red zone. And if, like, how are you not doing QB power leads with Marcus Mariota getting the ball handed off to him from Jalen Hurts with Dallas Goedert as your lead blocker 15, 20 yards out? Good fucking luck. And I'm going to add on pulling Jason Kelce, pulling Jordan Mailata, and good luck defending that shit, or do the counter and show the same thing, have everybody pulling that way, and you know what Jalen Hurts does? He pulls the ball down and goes and sneaks around you for a touchdown. If you're not putting these two QBs on the field, at least in the red zone where I think all these packages should live, I'm going to be fucking the worst, maddest, nitpickiest Eagles fan on earth this season. I will call for it until it is known by the analytics department that you will score more touchdowns in the red zone if both of those QBs are on the field at the same time within the 20. Am I right or wrong, Vince Quinn?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun as hell. I'm totally down for it. It makes sense to me. And for a guy like that, he's the perfect guy to do it with. So yeah, 100%, man. And then whether it's like, okay, you draft a guy, you do it late, he's a project player, or I don't think this works, but I still want to say it, Cam Newton. Cam Newton, who can't get a job, who's working out, why not? Sign up to a vet bill and be like, listen, dude, we're going to run the second quarterback. They're actually going to get snaps, be our QB3. You could get some opportunities here. Why not? Why not?
I am 100% on board with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Isn't that Jalen Hurts' role model? Obviously, he gives him the homage every time he scores a touchdown, right?
So he already passed his record, so stat hawk, baby.
Exactly, and like, yeah, rotate them all in. If you want to make Cam Newton QB2 to activate him that game and then make QB3 Marcus Mariota sitting down, absolutely, go pay him $3 million to go hang out. He's looking for a job, right? I'm sure his legs are looking great. He was thrown at the Auburn Pro Day. Shout out to Chef Scott, who mentioned this to us as well, or at least me, in passing and saying, dude, I know this is all happening and Marcus Mariota's here, but you really give strong consideration to Cam. Absolutely. More importantly, you want to know why, Vince Quinn, I want Cam Newton here? I don't want to end up in a fucking Josh Johnson or Brock Purdy situation. And if that hasn't scared the living shit out of you to have as many starting quarterbacks as possible on your roster, then you are a fucking fool. You don't even start with me with QB2. Give me the 3 QB system. Give it to me all. We have fundamentally fucked up this position as fans, as GMs, and as everyone else. And I'm telling you, it is around the corner. Give me Cam Newton. Yes, please.
Yeah, I mean, these are the kind of backup quarterbacks you need, right? Like these guys, because it's the whole idea you can build an offense around their legs, you can give them time to develop as athletes, and you see what happens as a passer. Like, look at Tyler Huntley, man. Tyler Huntley is fun. He's a free agent right now, but he could be the starting quarterback of the Ravens. If anything, he's probably the odds favorite to be the starting quarterback of the Ravens at this point. I don't know. I mean, it's just like he came out of nowhere, 6th-round pick, I think it was. He's been there for a couple of seasons. He's solid. I mean, he almost won that playoff game. I think he's a good player. I liked watching him from the first time I saw him out there for the Ravens. So, like, I don't see any problem with that. I've seen, you'll like this, John, Chip Kelly guy, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, being mocked at the Eagles late and do the same thing. Like, sure, if he moves like that, because I don't know, I don't watch college football, I don't give a shit, but if he moves like that, then sure, put him in. Like, that's good with me. So, yeah, like, that's just how the offense is, and get 3 guys. And I know, by the way, I just want to say, talking about all these quarterbacks, and you mentioned the 49ers, I just want to say rest in peace to Javon Hargrave. Now that he's out in San Francisco, I don't know if you saw this, but they asked him about the NFC Championship game, and he's like, yeah, well, it would have been a different game if Brock Purdy was out there. It's like, God damn it, man. They got to him so fast, and it's already over. So, yeah, rest in peace to Javon.
when you pay him more money than the Philadelphia Eagles, you get to say those things, right? You have to. And same with CJ, GJ looking around and be like, I think there's just more talent around here in Detroit than there was in Philadelphia last year. I'm going, okay, all right. I'm glad we're having fun. And look, if he ends up being right, and if both, yeah, I don't know, Brock Purdy comes in this time and his repaired elbow in the final hour saves the day, you know, you'll splash that fucking quote all over the place, San Francisco. Good luck to both squads, honestly. I hope that works out for you. But I tell you who it won't work out for, Vince Quinn, and I've got a little bit of a tinfoil hat free agency theory to throw your way as we're seeing all these things happen. In fact, some sad news in free agency is all this momentum was heading towards Elijah Moore getting traded, and you're thinking, well, maybe the Eagles could do so, and then here come the Cleveland Browns overpaying for like a second and a third, and they swap. Mecole Hardman goes to the Jets, which I was a little disappointed on. But besides that, Shane Steichen fucking signed that son of a bitch, Gardner Minshew, without even letting him breathe for a second, really. I mean, like, it was just Jacoby Brissett, and then PJ Wynn, and then bang, I think he was this next quarterback shortly after that. If there's not a definitive reason sticking out to us right now of why Shane Steichen was part of the problem of why this offense just didn't explode even more than it did, and I know people are going to get on me because, like, John, it was one of the most prolific offenses that the Eagles have ever had. Well, it could have been a lot bleeping better. And if your first option is to go to Gardner Minshew, it's like, this is the guy that's going to run my offense and I like it. I think Shane's mind is not as cool as everyone thinks it is. And there's going to be no way to track this, right? There's no way that, like, if Shane fails, it's to be expected. Is there going to be any provable way for this theory to be actually correct of mine, of, like, we can prove that Shane Steichen was not the brains behind the operation here?
Well, yeah, I mean, if the Eagles blow up this year and, you know, there's actual hot reads in the passing game and stuff, then yeah, like, if we're seeing Jalen pointing around and doing shit, running the offense, and really doing it at a high level, not just executing the play, but, like, directing everything, being, you know, the conductor of the orchestra, that kind of thing. Like, if he's doing that kind of stuff, yeah, you look at Shane immediately and go, like, what the fuck, dude? What was all this? I mean, he is still responsible. I will never forget this. Sirianni's responsible. The whole staff is responsible, too, but Shane Steichen was a part of a team that called an entire game with zero motion snaps the entire game, which should not be possible, and also happened against San Francisco, I believe, which is so funny because that's all they do.
It did.
He did that. Yeah. Like, that happened, man. So, yeah, I think that's going to be easy to see. And then here's the other part of it, too, is, like, I think Minshew is just a meat shield. Like, he's bringing Minshew in. The guy's going to start for God knows how many weeks, 6, 7 weeks. And then whatever rookie they take at the top of the draft, he's going to be the guy. So I think he's just saying, I know this guy. This guy knows me. This is easy. He is a backup, but he gets a chance to start for a little bit. And, you know, I guess he'll be fine in the locker room as a bench guy. I don't know. Like, I just think that's all it is.
Man. Yeah, and Minshew's always said he's wanted to be a coach. So maybe this is like, yeah, this is going to be my final little step into football, and I'll learn a lot from Shane, and we'll just go from there. It could be that. It could be. I don't know. The first guy to come to mind is like, this guy knows my offense. Bad sign, McGee, and good luck to what I'm going to say. I think Bryce Young ends up in Indianapolis, and God bless his soul if that happens, because that's not going to work out so well for him. But any other things that are percolating your mind here, Vince Quinn, from this week? Because to me, this is just a lot of sitting and waiting. I am keying in on a lot of probably false draft rumors, like Bijan Robinson flying into Philadelphia. Are you going to feel comfortable at all if he drafts? Well, first round in general, we'll start there. Top 10 pick, I said it today. If the Eagles are actually flirting with this, which I highly doubt, he's got to be Barry Sanders if they take him at 10. Otherwise, what's the point of doing that?
Yeah, how many playoff games did Barry Sanders win? So, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It doesn't, like, all due respect to Barry Sanders, it's the position. I'm not investing in the position. You want a guy that, like, you draft a guy in the first round because it's not just that you believe in them as a top-of-the-line player for the next couple of years and the value of the rookie deal, but it's about extending the player, right? It's what happens when you extend this player? You want to get them for another 4 or 5 years after that rookie contract has expired. You want to get them through their prime. Nobody does that with running backs anymore. If he plays like an elite player, he's gone. So there's no point. Like, I don't see the point. I don't think there's any value there. So for me, I look at a situation like this, and I'm taking anybody else. And I'm not taking him at 30 either. Trade out, let somebody
I'll
else take him if they
want
to do it. Yeah, anybody that is, it's second round or later at most. That's the only thing. I will never concede this point. I'm never drafting a running back in the first round. I do not give a shit. Draft anybody else.
Taylor Credatis, what would be your reaction if Bijan ends up being a Philadelphia Eagle? Because there's all the things that we said and made fun of Giants fans for about Saquon Barkley, we would pretty much just say positively, I think, about Bijan Robinson here no matter what. There's no way you don't get into like September and are like, I can't wait to see this historic offensive line and the Leonard Fournette prospect, you know, come in and change the way that we all run the football. Where are you thinking here?
I mean, if that did happen, I don't think that's a Howie move. Like, somebody forced him to take him, like Brian Johnson or something. There's just no scenario where I see that happening.
Yeah, and I don't, Vince, do you think that Howie's hand can get forced by anybody? I guess it's very possible. I mean, like, we kind of view him as this shrewd asshole, and I still think he is, but that's how he gets stuff done. And does he take people's ideas, or does he
The only scenario that's realistic where Howie has to tip his hand, and let's be honest about this, it's Julian Lurie, baby. Julian, my pal, my man, come on the show, Julian. Julian Lurie, you're welcome on the podcast anytime. This offer has been extended for about 2 years now. You're welcome. I would love to talk with you. But outside of the great one, Julian Lurie, who joins the franchise officially, they go to the Super Bowl his first year, I don't think there's anybody else that he has to listen to now.
Yeah. So hope that relationship goes well. And maybe Julian has to listen to Howie. That's why I think how powerful he might be stepping into this business. Like, Julian's got to work up that owner power and be like, I'm firing you, Howie. That's when you should have him on. Like, when he finally becomes a man, he'll talk to Vince Quinn. That'll be great.
All right, we're going to have a bar mitzvah for Julian Lurie and fires Howie Roseman in 2045.
Real quickly, Nicholas Moreau, do you know anything about him other than he's good in coverage, because that's all I got? He probably won't be a part of the Eagles season, and I doubt I'll even learn his name, because I think he gets replaced in the draft or somebody else soon. Should we learn his name at all?
Well, yeah, no. I mean, he's a typical Eagles linebacker. Also, he was with the size, so it makes sense. I actually saw that he was bad in coverage, I think, but he was really good.
Maybe I have it wrong. Maybe it's the other way around. So even better.
Yeah, I mean, it's a consummate Eagles pick, and he doesn't matter. They're going to rotate guys next to Kobe Dean. Someone's going to get that job. He might be that guy. Who cares? Is he a comp pick or not? Like, that's kind of all I think the calculus is, and they're buying low and hoping to sell high.
Rodney McLeod is open to a comeback. Are you at this point? I am.
If it's June, yeah. For now, no. Like, let's go through the draft. Let's see who's available. Maybe there's another vet. And, like, if there's anybody else that's available, I'm down for it. Otherwise, they don't find anybody. He's comfortable. They're desperate. He's a body. Like, go for it. Who cares?
Will the Eagles ever break the curse of drafting a corner? Because I'm saying no. Or a safety or any DB. Other than Jalen Mills, who I would have loved back here, by the way. Like this, you're still, it's just crazy to me. It's just, I'm terrified of it. I want them to take stabs in the dark in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds with DBs and use those assets for other places. But we'll see. I don't know. I hope that they can have like a Devontae Smith type hit here. And I'm just, I don't foresee it coming anytime soon. I think that's where we'll leave it. Anything else, fellas?
No, just one last note, because I don't think I said this earlier, but like, people are freaking out in general now, which is, you know, it happens this time of year, but like, I just want to take a second and have people appreciate where this team is right now and where they were at this exact time last year, because last year, they had a lot of holes to fill and massive question marks in places, and now, like, the confidence level in the team is so much higher, they've earned that. And they've retained a lot of good players. I mean, this team is really deep. It's really talented. There's veterans that stabilize the locker room and all that kind of stuff. So, like, I'm not worried about anything here. It's all just filler. If they get another home run player to some degree, I mean, God. Like, we're in for another magical season regardless. I just think it's increasing Super Bowl odds little by little at this point. So I'm good, man. Like, don't stress so much.
Give me wide receiver three in some high capacity. Make sure that Nuck does not go to Dallas, even if that means you got to trade a little extra to the Cardinals and all that stuff. I'm man, that's just like the last thing I need for – I'm not worried at all, but Vince Quinn's exactly right. Like, you plop that down on this foundation, and we're not talking about much, you know. I know everybody's upset that Fletch is back here for another year and like, oh, it's turning old instead of young again. Like, it's going to be young the very next year once you get rid of these one-year contracts and enjoy – the fruitful 13 or so picks that are waiting for you in 2024. So for Taylor Credatis, for Vince Quinn, for all the wonderful people over at Liquid Death sending us nothing but teas, seltzers, and wonderful merchandise, we thank you so much for watching, listening to Bell and the Birdman right here on bellandthebirdman.com. Okay, bye.